Welcome to the Serenity Now podcast. I'm Amanda Little, and you're listening to episode number 4. Today, I'm speaking with Bernie Waldron, yoga and meditation teacher and retired nurse. She's sharing with us how nature can help us live healthier through the practice of Ayurveda. Hello, Bernie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Amanda. How are you?
I am doing well. And where are you speaking to us from?
I'm speaking to you from a little village in the middle of England, the UK.
Nice. And you're how far outside of London?
Oh, everybody asks that. if you got the train, it would probably take you about an hour. I'm about 100 miles, whatever that is in kilometres. Yeah, from London.
Well, you can give us kilometres. Do you know kilometres?
I don't.
You don't. Okay. Because, I mean, we're on kilometres too.
Yeah. No, we do miles in the UK.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, we very rarely use kilometres.
Oh.
We know about kilometres, but we but we still use miles.
Don't you use the metric system for everything else? Or no?
Well, we still weigh, you know, if we're weighing ourselves, we still talk in stones and pounds and ounces.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, you know, what did your baby weigh? Oh, my baby was 8 pounds. We don't talk about, well, it was 3.4 kilograms. No.
Interesting.
If somebody said to me their baby's weight was, say, 3.4 kilograms, I'd have to go and look it up in pounds to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, we use metric here, but I think, it depends. In weight, I definitely think in imperial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, how about we talk about some Ayurveda?
Yeah.
So can you give us a description? I mean, I know it's a huge topic, but generally, what is Ayurveda?
Ayurveda is, it's living in tune with nature.
Okay.
That's the best way to describe it. It's a healing Indian, ancient healing system from India. And it's all about rhythms of nature, eating in season, sleeping when it's dark, getting up when it's light. Yeah.
Okay.
Getting back to, eating the food that's grown in abundance at that particular time of year. So, you know, now we've got spring, lots of salad leaves and, that's what we're eating now. And rather than what's in the supermarket, what's flown in from South America or that's gone on a lot of air miles. It's about eating what's growing locally in your hood for your health.
That's a really nice, succinct description. Living in tune with nature.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Okay, so, I mean, I have a question about that, but I think I'm going to leave that to the end. I'm wondering, in general, how does this help us? How does this help us in our life?
Oh, wow. Well, it has. What we've done over time is we've moved away from nature. We've moved into cities, living in concrete blocks. We think that we're separate from nature, and we're not. You know, we need nature to survive, and but we think that we're separate from it. So this, I think, is the root of everybody's problems. It's the root of ill health. It's the root of stress. Everything that's going on today is because we've been living out of sync with nature. We've removed ourselves from it. And having these few weeks at home, because everybody in the world is on lockdown.
Yes.
I don't think there are many countries that aren't. You know, even Sweden, who isn't on full lockdown, there's certain measures that they've put in place. But it's got us sort of out in nature. Everybody around here is walking. People are planting things in their garden. Everybody's growing tomatoes and lettuces, and people are swapping seeds because all of the garden centres and places are shut, so you can't get anything like that. So we're all starting to eat locally. We have little like cafe places in the villages that opened up in the last few years, where you go for afternoon tea or morning coffee, etc. Well, they've now like turned into local little shops. They sell all fresh produce, locally grown stuff.
Oh, nice.
And people are using it. So, you know, people are at home more. Mm-hmm. So they're cooking all their food from scratch. So although people are very stressed because of work-related things, people have lost their job, etc., there's a certain amount of their population that's having a little bit of time just to reset, to have a different way of living and be in nature more. And I think for a lot of people, it's helping them.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. I'm noticing the same around here too. It's a stress, but it's also a slowdown and a reconnecting. Time for reconnecting with self and with nature. And yeah.
I mean, the kids around here have done this sweet little thing where there's something that's going on in the UK called Stay Safe. Mm-hmm. And we're using rainbows. I don't know whether you're using rainbows in Canada. Okay, so every house you pass has got a rainbow painted in the window.
Oh, nice.
And a little logo saying stay safe. And then there's other things like thank you to the key workers.
Right.
And when you go on a walk, children have gone round and they've placed these painted stones in little strategic places for you to find on your walk, which is really special.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bit of that here too.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. All right. So in particular, in this time of what's going on in the world, it would be really beneficial for us to have practices and ways of living that help promote our health and help promote our resilience of health. So how can we use Ayurveda for that? Can we use it, and how?
Yeah, so it encompasses a lot of things. It's a complete lifestyle.
Okay.
So it's about, you know, getting up when it's light, not using an alarm clock, moving as soon as you get up, eliminating, hydrating, getting out in nature, eating the right foods, not eating processed foods, frozen foods, dead foods. So all alive foods that you're cooking daily, cooking from scratch. All of these things have improved my health immensely. Mm-hmm. And people that I teach them to, you can see that it's improving their life as well.
Okay.
It's nothing that we don't know about. It's probably how we were living probably 50 years ago, or if we asked our parents how they lived, they would say the same, you know, that they perhaps shopped locally, bought fresh ingredients, cooked from scratch, whereas nowadays it's very easy to have people just come into your door with a takeaway.
Right.
So you don't even have to think about your food. People don't really think about what they drink. So they're just sort of drinking all sorts of carbonated drinks, etc. So it's just sort of stripping all that back, having nice healthy food you've cooked yourself makes a huge difference. That's just one small thing that, you know, I've even noticed myself since we've been here. Usually we go out to eat a couple of times a week where we're eating fresh food every day, and you think, actually, you couldn't buy such nice food in a restaurant as you make at home.
Right. Yes, that's true. And you can put all that love into it while you're making it.
Yeah. And, you know, go into your garden and pick your herbs and add your spices, etc. And thinking of food in, thinking of everything that you put into your mouth as medicine.
Okay.
Whereas nice. I think for a long time, I just used to think of food as fuel.
Yes. Right.
And I think a lot of people do. So it's something that you need to keep you going, but they don't actually think about what it's doing.
Right.
And actually how it really just helps you on a cellular level, and whatever it is that you're eating is what you become. So in Ayurveda, they say, you know, whatever you eat in 35 days is part of you. It is you.
Okay. So it takes 35 days to get into your system fully?
Well, it's in your system, but it then becomes part of you. It's part of yourself.
Okay. And does that leave? Like, is there a time of eliminating, but not eliminating out of your cells? Is there, like, how long would that take if you notice that you're doing poor habits, or if you have that poor habits and you change them?
Oh, I think you start to notice that within a few days.
Okay.
I don't think you have to wait for 35 days to notice it. I think you notice it within a few days, just how you feel.
Right.
That you perhaps don't feel so bloated or gassy. You might feel a little bit lighter. You notice that your food's digesting a little bit easier.
Okay.
Because, you know, these solid foods, these heavy, dense foods that we eat, sort of the frozen, processed food, you know, that takes a little bit longer. There's very little nutrients in it, so your body's really having to scavenge for these nutrients.
Right.
Like if you eat a McDonald's.
Yes.
So
no,
what's
I don't eat a McDonald's.
I can't remember
Let's
the last
say
time
I, did.
I ate one.
Okay.
Yeah. So anybody that eats McDonald's, you know, you eat a McDonald's and then they will say, you know, I feel hungry again.
So right.
Quite soon after it.
Yes.
And it is because it has absolutely no nutrient value whatsoever, that your body is scavenging for the nutrients. And as a consequence, there aren't any. So the body wants more of it to get the nutrients from. But there aren't any. So that's why it's very easy to get into eating more of it.
Right.
And it has those flavors, those sweet, sour, salty flavors that we crave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it mainly food? Is Ayurveda mainly about food?
Primarily. So it's, diet is key for everything.
Okay.
Having a good healthy diet, you know, is one of the biggies.
Okay.
Movement is key.
Yep.
So yoga, it doesn't, and in Ayurveda, they don't recommend extreme forms of exercise.
Okay.
In actual fact, they don't recommend that at all. Yoga, but a gentle yoga practice, not any of this, sort of Ashtanga, very strong practice where you're practicing for 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Right.
So a gentle yoga practice.
Okay.
A steady walk. They don't really recommend running. I think that's bad for your joints and wears your joints out.
Okay.
So, yeah, so gentle. Gentle
okay.
exercising. Yeah.
So you said not eating dead foods. So does Ayurveda promote or recommend vegetarianism?
Yes.
Or veganism?
It doesn't recommend veganism because in Ayurveda they do recommend that you have dairy.
They do?
They do.
Oh,
yeah.
I find that surprising.
Well, the cow is revered over in India.
Right.
So, you know, cows are just walking everywhere. They're walking across the road. You have to drive around them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, that is wealthy sort of has a cow in their garden where they're getting their milk from. And so, yeah, so dairy's fine.
Okay.
And they also cook with an oil called ghee, which is clarified butter.
Yep.
And they recommend that you put a lot of that into your diet as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, they don't, but meat, some meats for some constitutions, they will suggest it. It may be that you need it, but on the whole, not really. And I don't think that they would ever recommend eating red meat.
Okay. How about, because you mentioned it's all these things that we're putting into our body. So pollution, does that come into it?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's air and
so
food.
It's
water.
It's just being in nature as much as you can, being outdoors, not always being indoors, sort of limiting the amount of stimulation you have.
Mm-hmm.
So as well as diet, moderate exercise, meditation is a big part of Ayurveda.
Okay.
And finding stillness, being in nature, not overstimulating yourself with too much television, too much working on the computer, the phone, etc. So limiting that, making sure that you get good night's sleep. mm-hmm. and that you try to get to bed before, well, at least before 10 o'clock. Okay. And because the hours that you have before midnight are like double the quality of the hours of sleep that you have after midnight.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, so you're better to go to bed early and get that good deep sleep, which you get for the first few hours. And then later on in the night, you tend to notice that as well if you wake up, that when you go back to sleep, you're doing a lot of dreaming. Mm-hmm. So you're more in your rapid eye movement, which is also crucial for your sleep as well.
Right.
But that sleep is like it's like a shower for your brain, mm-hmm. and it cleanses the brain. So sleep is really important in Ayurveda. And sleep is one of the key things, really, that I realized several years ago, that, you know, I was staying up late and I'd probably watch things like the news before I'd go to bed.
Right, yes.
So I wouldn't settle as easy, and I'd wake up, you know, worried about what I'd been listening to. So I stopped doing all of that. I started to go to bed about 9:30, and I would meditate for a while.
Okay.
Just have a little bit of quiet time, yep. or read. And then go to sleep. And I just noticed that my quality of sleep was better. I felt more refreshed in the morning. Mm. So, yeah, so sleep is a biggie. Sleep is a biggie. Diet is a biggie. Exercise is a biggie. Well, they're all. It's not really one thing. It's about being in balance.
Right.
It's finding that balance for you that suits you and sticking with it, and then noticing when you feel out of balance. And just adjusting whatever it is that you're doing.
Okay. So aiming for balance.
Aiming for balance, yeah.
All right. So
not pushing yourself with anything, with exercise or... The other thing as well that I think that we tend to do is we tend to graze through the day. Mm-hmm. We tend to eat what we want when we want.
Right.
And in Ayurveda, they teach you to notice hunger, okay. and only eat when you're hungry. So how often do you eat when you're hungry, Amanda?
Well,
truly hungry.
I eat a lot. Yeah, I do grazing, and then I also notice that I will not eat when I'm hungry, and I eat when I've gone past that into hangry.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's never nice for anyone.
No. Because, you know, they also state that your digestion mm-hmm. Is the key to your health.
Okay.
So we need to be eating our meal, the most nutritious meal of the day, when the sun is at its highest. So usually the sun is at its highest. It's around sort of 1, 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. 2 p.m. And that's when we should be eating. And what happens is we perhaps graze a little bit, mm-hmm. or we just... snack at something, and then we keep pushing back our meal until later in the evening. And then, right. as you say, you've sort of gone past it a little bit,
yep.
but then you feel like, well, I better sit down, and you end up having this heavy, nutrient dense meal mm-hmm. late in the day when your digestion is ready to go to bed,
right?
And
okay,
sleep for the night. So yep. you're not making the most of the nutrients. They're not digesting as well. And then mm-hmm. as a consequence of not digesting as well, they become putrefied, undigested. And they cause this toxin in the body that in Ayurveda they call ama.
Mm-hmm. Ama, yes.
And ama is responsible for all illness. Ama in the mind and ama in the body.
Okay. And is that mainly from poor digestion or...
Poor digestion.
Yep. Or is it everything involved could lead to ama?
Everything involved. So if you're overwhelmed, you're burning the candle, you're not sleeping when you should be, you're perhaps drinking too much alcohol, you're having a lot of takeaways, eating a lot of processed food, eating a lot of meat, all of this will cause ama in the body.
Okay. So ama is essentially a byproduct of this being out of balance.
Yes.
Okay.
So you get ama in the mind as well as the body. So if you're watching lots of distressing things, mm-hmm. You're watching a lot of violence. You know, we think about some of us think about what we're putting into our body with regards to our diet, and we try and eat healthy.
Right.
But we don't really think about what it is that we're putting into our mind. And the diet for our mind needs to be as healthy as the diet that we put into our digestion.
Right.
Because our mind is digesting that stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why meditation is key, and having some stillness, reading, doing things that are creative, things that you enjoy. Noticing that the things that you enjoy doing, and doing them more often. Because sometimes we can just get in the trap of like working really hard Monday to Friday, exhausted at the weekends, but then, you know, we go for a walk with our dog or whatever in nature, and we really feel quite peaceful and quite calm.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to sort of notice that and try to bring more of that into your life.
Okay. So I want to backtrack just a little bit, but also draw it into what you've just been saying. You mentioned about the constitutions. So mm-hmm. do you want to tell us just a little bit about the constitutions?
Well, in Ayurveda, they say that we've all got different constitutions. No two people are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, the person that you live with may need a different diet to you, may want to go to bed at different times to you, may prefer a different type of exercise to you. But we try to sort of live in tune with that other person as much as we can, and we're eating the same foods, etc.
Right.
But each of us we're all born with the five great energies. So everything in the universe is made of the five great energies.
Okay.
Which is air, space, fire, water, and earth.
Okay.
So we have all of those elements in us, but each of us has more of one than the other. So somebody may have more air and space in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that person would be considered to be more Vata.
Okay.
Somebody may have more fire and water, and that person would be considered to be Pitta. And then somebody that has more earth and water in them is Kapha. So we have all of these elements in us, but we are more inclined to one than the other.
Okay.
And if we know which one we're more inclined to, and we try to balance the doshas out, they're called doshas, mm-hmm. these biological humours, then we get good health. But it's when we get out of balance with the dosha. So, for example, with Vata dosha, that have more air and space, tend to be more dry, more mobile, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating a lot of dried food, a lot of crackers, crisps, etc., you're going to increase that element in you.
Right. Okay.
And that's going to make you out of balance. It probably make you quite constipated, or you might notice that you're getting some arthritis or back pain, etc.
Okay.
So then you would want to introduce more moist, oily foods into your diet. So it's being aware of what your constitution is, and knowing that like increases like. So if you are have more air mm-hmm. and space in you, that drying things, staying up late, using up too much of your energy is going to deplete you, then you need to have more calming things, more meditation, more quiet times, more walking, more moist food, etc. Okay. That makes sense?
Yep, totally. So each dosha has different things that would help keep it in balance.
Yes.
And things that would kick it out of balance.
Yes.
Okay. So I know when I think of the doshas, quite often my brain goes to thinking about that there's like not enough of it, but that's not really how it works, is it? Or is it? Maybe it is. So you have a dosha in balance, and then you can mm-hmm. have a dosha turned up too high, or is it just overstimulated? Which would be
better?
Yeah,
it could be overstimulated. Yeah. So like if for instance, if you are mainly Pitta, so you have a lot of fire in you, and you're
yes.
eating a lot of spicy foods, you're staying out in the sun all day. I mean, this is a bit extreme. Then that's going to really raise your pitta. Okay. And as a consequence of that, then you're probably going to get sort of quite irritable and angry.
Okay.
So what would you want to do in that situation where you're eating, say, a lot of spicy food and you're in the sunshine?
Well, spend less time in the sun.
Yeah.
Do so some more cooling things.
Yeah. Yes.
Eat absolutely. More cooling foods.
Yes.
So is it possible, though, to have your dosha turned down to low or understimulated?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's a fine balance, and it's learning to listen to your body, bring in some daily routines like sleep, eating healthy foods, you know, just picking one or two things that you think, yeah, I can manage that, and just noticing how it improves your health.
Right.
And then as a consequence of that, then you may want to start adding other things in.
Okay. So when you mentioned about it's best to eat while the sun is at the highest, does that have to do with our digestive fires?
Yes.
Okay.
So your digestion is at its peak. Mm-hmm. So your enzymes and everything are ready to take in that food when the sun is at its highest.
So it's the fire of digestion with the fire of sun, which again, it's yes. nature, right?
Yes, it's okay. nature. Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'm noticing too with you describing all of this is it really sounds like there's a quality of mindfulness to all of it, of this staying in balance, a quality of mindfulness will make this easier. Would that be a good way to phrase it?
Yes. Well, I think mindfulness was something that came into my life probably pre-Ayurveda. So okay. there was yoga first, and because I felt like I needed to do a practice that helped me with stress, and I heard that yoga would help me with stress. I also had sciatica, lower back problems from all of my years in nursing. So I sought out yoga, and then I thought, actually, this makes me feel great. It's not only making me feel a little bit lighter after the practice, it's just starting to affect me on a day to day. I don't seem to be what was the first thing that I noticed? I just noticed that I perhaps wasn't reacting to things like I had been previously, because I think right. I was very stressed. Yoga, that was the thing that I noticed. And then a few years after I started practicing yoga, I got into meditation. I learned about meditation, obviously, during my yoga teacher training, but it was getting into a regular meditation practice that switched on a whole new dimension to my life, I think.
Okay.
And then as a consequence of that, at the yoga meditation, actually, I don't really want to be eating meat. I want to think about what I'm eating a little bit more. It evolved, I think, Amanda, that's the best way to describe it. It all evolved, and it evolved from me starting to practice yoga.
Right. Okay.
Is that what you asked me? I can't remember now.
Well, it wasn't completely what I was going for, but no, that's great. I was wondering if you are mindful in your life, not so much the practice of mindfulness, but if a person wanted to bring Ayurveda into their life, would you clearly, it would help, it sounds like, if that person is more mindful about everything that they're doing and everything, how it feels.
I think to begin with, you can come from wherever. I think if you just want to feel a little bit better, you've tried allopathic medicine, you've been down that route, and you've tried medication and it hasn't helped, and you're looking for something that's more natural, because Ayurveda is then, you know, you come to it from wherever you are. And if you notice, actually, yeah, this makes sense, because a lot of it is, you know, Western medicine came from Ayurveda. A lot of it is common sense. Okay. We all know really deep down that actually we need to go to bed a little bit earlier.
Right,
all know deep down that we need to move a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we all know that we need to eat better. But we're not really always sure, you know, what the benefits are, or is it really going to change me? Is it really going to take away my pain, or am I really going to feel a bit better?
Right.
And then you start to practice it. So maybe just one or two things, you might read a little bit. And then it was like me with starting my yoga practice, you know, and like anybody that starts a yoga practice, you start it, but you don't really have an agenda at the time. You just go along.
Right.
And then it's afterwards that things start to, you start to notice, actually, this is making me feel a little bit better. So I think that that's the same for Ayurveda as well.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you are. You know, you just, if you think you're interested in it,
yep,
read up a little bit about it and start to make just some very small changes to your lifestyle.
Okay. And if you're good at listening to your body, listening to yourself, all of these different signs, it sounds as though it could be very intuitive.
Yes.
Okay. Nice. So would you like to share maybe a practice or two or three that the listeners could bring into their life that, you know, could have a positive benefit for them?
Mm-hmm. Thinking of your everything that you put into your mouth as medicine.
Okay.
And not just this is food, this is fuel. Thinking that absolutely everything that you put into your mouth is medicine.
Okay.
Preparing your food with care and trying to eat as much fresh produce as you can. And if you do eat meat, fine, but just see if you can cut back. You don't need to be eating it every day. Notice how you feel the days you don't eat it.
Right. That's how I switched to being a vegetarian. I started by cutting back.
Yeah.
And I noticed how I felt.
Yeah.
And then I rarely ate meat. And then I started to learn about all of the other issues surrounding
yes.
meat in the industry. But yes, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there anything else?
So
I mean, that's a pretty big one. Your food is medicine.
Absolutely. I think that that's a key one. Mm-hmm. And it that sort of resonated with me.
Okay.
So I always like to say that. So I think start there. Start there, thinking of your food as medicine, trying to eat as fresh as you possibly can.
Okay.
Try that for a week or two. Notice how you feel. If you think, I'd like to add in other things, sleep is key.
Okay.
Absolutely key. The biggest one for me, the thing that's had the biggest impact on my life is meditation. And I know that a lot of people say, oh, you know, I can't meditate, don't have time, you know, I can't sit there, too busy thinking. Mm-hmm. But not even to think that they're meditating, even if they just sit down and take 6 full, slow, deep breaths.
Right.
Just start with that.
Yeah.
And then before you get up, notice how you feel. Mm-hmm. If you're going to boil the kettle, stand there. Take 6 full deep breaths. So it's bringing in little pockets of meditation through the day, but not thinking of it as meditation, just think of it as taking 6 deep breaths, which has a physiological response anyway.
Right.
That calms your nervous system.
Excellent.
Because I think meditation for people that haven't done it can scare them because they think, I can't sit cross-legged.
Right. I can't stop my thoughts.
You know, who can? Nobody can stop their thoughts.
Right.
You know, that's what the mind does. It thinks. Mm-hmm. But you know, how often do we think about our breath?
Right. Not very often.
We don't. We don't really, do we? So,
no.
You know, just stopping and thinking about your breath, taking 6 nice, full, deep breaths, it's going to fill your body with oxygen. You're going to feel better just from doing that. But then you start to notice, actually, that's calmed me down a little bit. I don't feel quite so agitated, or I'm not going to fire that email back to that snotty person that's just emailed me. Or
right,
you know,
yes,
it can just give it. What I like to say is you're taking a pause. So you're not meditating; you're just taking a pause.
Right. I know. I've been thinking through this whole COVID time that we're in. That it's almost it's. Well, I mean, a lot of people are still working and we're starting to open up our society again here in Canada. But I it felt like a meditation, a forced sort of global meditation, forced by Mother Nature, maybe.
Yeah. Interesting, though, isn't it?
Yes.
What else could have stopped us in our tracks, like this pandemic?
Yes.
Yeah. So it does, you know, is it nature's way? You know, I've been warning you. I've been warning you. You're not listening. Now you're listening.
Right.
Now you're listening. Yeah.
Yes. And is that not how it works in the body too with disease?
Yeah. Isn't it? That's a really nice link. Mm-hmm. It's a brilliant link. Absolutely. Because it's when we crash. It's when we have a breakdown of some sort, or we have a cancer diagnosis. It's that all of a sudden, nothing could get any worse. I need to reassess what it is that I'm doing with my life.
Right. Would there be any good books that you could recommend? Any good books or any resources if someone wanted to learn more about Ayurveda?
Yes, there's a lot out there, but the teacher that I have been learning from, Dr. Vasant Ladd, he has written several books, but he's got a really nice one called Ayurveda, The Science of Self-Healing by Dr. Vasant Ladd, which you can get on Amazon for, I think, it's $11.
Okay. And he lives in the US, correct?
He's originally from Pune in India.
Okay.
And he now lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, I did have another question that I jotted down here. So you're talking about living in tune with nature and, you know, eating what's in season. And I haven't mentioned on the podcast yet, but my plan is to be living in Costa Rica at some point soon. So what do you do if, and I know I am I'm a pitta, mm-hmm. and I believe I'm a pitta vata. So what do I do about eating in nature, in time with nature or in tune with nature? If there are no seasons, what do you do?
Well, you just eat whatever is available to you because you just attune to the environment that you're in.
Okay. And so a person's body would adjust?
Oh, well, after some time, yeah.
Okay. Would it be wise to still sort of honor your own type of seasons?
I don't know, Amanda. You'd probably just have to see how you felt when you got there. You might feel that, you know, coming from a cold climate into a warm climate, it's going to take a little bit of adjusting.
Right.
You might feel that you don't need to eat as much. You know, perhaps have a later breakfast and then, you know, mid-afternoon have your main meal and then that may be enough for you. Mm-hmm. Do you have three meals at the moment at home?
I haven't been.
Okay.
The last little while. I mean, normally, yes. But yeah, during this shutdown time, I've been finding I'm eating breakfast later and having a late lunch and then often not having dinner or having a really small dinner.
Okay. So that's interesting. So that, you know, now that you've had a little bit more time, that you've just sort of fallen into this cycle.
Yes.
That is probably right for your body. And have you noticed a difference in yourself?
Yes. It feels more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you probably really haven't thought about it, but perhaps you ought to think a little bit about, you know, and that if you revert back to your old way, how your body adjusts, how it feels.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
your recommended practice to start would be noticing your food as medicine and really watching your sleep or being more conscientious about your sleep. And you said getting to bed before 10 is good?
Getting to bed before 10, trying to switch off your devices for at least an hour before you go to sleep. Try not to watch the news if you like the television. Try and put something humorous on that makes you laugh before you go to bed. You just sleep better.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add that you think is valuable for listeners to know about Ayurveda and how it affects your health, how it can help you be more health resilient?
Yeah, Ayurveda is not a quick fix.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle, mm-hmm. but once you start to understand it, understand your constitution, even just finding out about your constitution, if you've never come across this before, there's lots of what they're called dosha quizzes online.
Okay.
There's one by the Chopra Center that I often send out to people just to, because you can do it online and it tells you immediately what your constitution is. And you can do it a couple of times, and it's good to know, you know, what are the things that cause you to be out of balance. It sort of then you can start to look a little bit more at your diet and things that perhaps in the past you've not really enjoyed, and that may be because it doesn't actually suit your constitution, your digestive system, etc. So, I'd recommend doing a dosha test, because a quiz, because okay. That can give you a lot of information and somewhere to start.
Okay. Well, I will include the link to the dosha quiz and the information on that book that you mentioned by Dr. Ladd. I'll include that in the show notes. So if people are interested, they can go and access that there.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of services or products do you have that you're offering, that you have available?
Okay, well, I started, because of the lockdown, I started to teach an online course called over 6 weeks called Change Your Habits, Change Your Life, okay. which is all based on the habits of Ayurveda, which is called Dhinacharya.
Okay.
These are the things that really made a big impact on my life, increased my energy, kept my weight very steady, and got me moving every day, got me practicing yoga in the morning rather than in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been teaching that online for the last 6 weeks, and I'm just going to continue doing that.
Okay.
Every few weeks, just taking people through these habits and introducing the Ayurvedic lifestyle. And then as a consequence of that, people have wanted to then know more and share recipes and everything. That's been great. So I've enjoyed that. So yeah, I offer that.
Okay. So, and you're going to continue offering that in?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
blocks of time.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. And if someone wanted to connect with you, how could they go about doing that?
Okay. So I've got a website,
mm-hmm.
healthhealingandyoga.co.uk. And I tend to advertise what I'm doing. So I do yoga workshops, yoga and meditation workshops, yoga, meditation, and Ayurvedic workshops. I do a retreat in Mallorca once a year.
Right.
And I recently started teaching these online courses.
Excellent. So someone could find all of this information on your website.
Yeah. Because and the online course, I feel like it's brought everything together, because I've been a nurse for nearly 40 years.
Mm.
I've been teaching yoga for a long time, been meditating for a long time. And I've been living this Ayurvedic lifestyle. So it's sort of, and then I also worked at a university for a while. So it's like brought all of my skills together to do this online course, which is really quite nice and something that I'd never really thought of. So lockdown has helped with that.
Right. Yes. I know there have definitely been benefits of this.
Yeah, it's got me to be really quite creative, I think.
Nice. Mm. Excellent. I have one last question, at least I think it's the last question, and you kind of made me think of it with what you were just saying. Do you use your knowledge or your practice of Ayurveda with your nursing?
I do with my nursing colleagues. Mm-hmm. I have to be careful, obviously, with patients, but,
right.
you know, sometimes I will just drop in little things, so... You know, constipation is a huge problem with a lot of the population, and specifically with children, because they're too busy to go to the toilet. They're too busy to get into that habit.
Right.
And, you know, just encouraging them to drink water as soon as they wake up in the morning, and not to be reaching for fizzy pop, because lots of kids reach for fizzy pop. Or they want ice cold drinks, and in Ayurveda you're not supposed to have ice cold drinks, because if you're drinking ice cold drinks, you're putting out your digestive fire. Mm-hmm. So then you're not digesting as well, so you're better off to have room temperature.
Okay.
So I often talk about that, and I'll bring in little snippets. Some people are really interested, but yeah, I do. But the nurses that I work with, I'm constantly telling them how they should be eating, how they shouldn't be using the microwave.
Right.
Yeah. They don't need to be eating that cheese mac, etc. Yeah.
Does it give you any insight though in your patients? In dealing with them, and how you might, what's the word? How you might like change your interactions with them, or?
Oh, I think my interactions have changed, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely as a consequence of the practices that I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But could you, if you were dealing with someone who was pitta over someone who was kapha, would you maybe change how your interaction was a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, Pittas, you know the pittas, they're very direct. They don't like any, you know, nonsense. They want to know everything, you know, and kaffas are a little bit more laid back, and you know, it's good for me to understand these different constitutions, and it helps me a lot, specifically in the workplace, because you can weigh people up quite quickly.
Right.
I mean, I've always sort of had a pretty good rapport and you know, can connect with people quite quickly, strangers. You have to, as a nurse, you have to make people feel calm and being looked after straight away, because people will come into a hospital, it's a strange environment, they feel very anxious. If it's their child that's ill, they're really anxious, they're on the ceiling a lot of the time. So you have to have the skills to automatically, you know, make them feel at ease, that you're listening to them, you know, you're going to look after them. And, you know, you're going to make sure that, you know, they have everything that they need. So, you know, and you're their advocate as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about your relationship, like your primary relationship? Husband, partner, spouse, whoever.
Yeah. I think he's benefited hugely from all of the things.
But do you think it's something that could help someone with a relationship?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Definitely, because it's spelled out to me exactly, you know, what his constitution is and why he's like he is, and that's been hugely helpful to me. Definitely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been married for a long time. I've been married for 35 years, and I've been with him nearly 40. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it's good to know what your partner is.
Yeah. Do you want to give us your website just one more time?
Okay, it's www.healthhealingandyoga.co.uk.
Okay, excellent. This has been a lovely conversation, Bernie.
Thank you, Amanda. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. I've enjoyed this too. Thanks so much to Bernie for sharing with us today. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed any of these episodes, please leave us a review on whichever app you listen from. And now take a moment, center into your breath, allow your shoulders to relax, take a nice full breath in, and a nice full breath out, and find your serenity now.